Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swann.
Ready, set.
Just call me Swanny.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
Finally, Clemson Sports Talk has come back to Drive Time. Hello, everybody. Lawton Swann back in the saddle. Once again, it is the show that shakes the Southland. Clemson Sports Talk for you each and every afternoon as you make your way around the great state of South Carolina and beyond, listening to us on incredible radio stations like Fox Sports Radio 1400 in the Midlands, around the world on the iHeartRadio app, podcasted as well. Happy Father's Day weekend, all you dads out there. Certainly appreciate so many of you who are fathers that support this program. And, this is part of my responsibility to the family, to support them. So it's a great, great outlet for me to connect with not just men and dads, et cetera, but, also females who tune into the program. And, we just have a great time here, and I hope you guys are celebrated this weekend. The NBA Finals has come to a conclusion. The Golden State Warriors, 4 championships in 8 seasons, solidifying Steph Curry's legacy, no doubt. He had already changed the game from the standpoint of shooting the basketball and the weaponization of the 3-point line being a big key to that. 103-90 last night, and I picked the Celtics to win that game. But one of the things, if you go back, one of the things I did say was I thought it was possible that the Celtics could come out like gangbusters, knowing their backs were against the wall. They did. They took a huge lead, and then they allowed a 21-0 run. And from there, it never felt like they were going to get back in the ballgame. The Warriors were sensational, winning in Boston, just the second team ever. My Los Angeles Lakers did it back in the 80s. The Golden State Warriors, 103-90. They win the series 4-2. And quite frankly, a team that was built the right way with a great head coach in Steve Kerr, a legacy that probably is going to continue on for a while because of the way this program is built. Last night, Steph Curry, 34 points in the ball game on 12 of 21 shooting. He goes 6 of 11 from downtown. But maybe the storyline of the series, the development of Andrew Wiggins, the former number one draft pick, he scores 18 points in the game. And Wiggins, I'm not going to call him the future leader of the Golden State Warriors, but you could hear in his voice after the game, and again, this is a kid who was played his college ball at Kansas, being drafted by Cleveland with the first pick, but in year one with Golden State, averaged 17.2 points per game, 4.5 rebounds per contest, and there's a benefit of playing with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson in that group. And it is the selflessness that I think comes along with it. And that will undoubtedly help Andrew Wiggins the rest of his career. I did take a gander and a listen at Draymond Green's post-game comments. Because, look, he is, to me, he is the Dennis Rodman. He is the Rasheed Wallace of this era. One thing you can say about both of those guys, as nutty as they could be on the court and as foolish at times as they could be with the officials and or the fans, those two, along with Green, are great teammates. 12 points, 8 assists, 12 rebounds for Draymond Green. He's about winning. He makes terrible decisions. He's a player that's easy to dislike. But on the court, he is about winning. And that's, I think, as a fan, that's hard to not like. Like somebody that's about the team. He has his incredibly selfish moments, boneheadedly selfish moments. And the thing I said last week, and the thing that I think everybody would agree on here is, I think with an 82-game schedule, you want to be a little bit ridiculous in 10% of those ball games. 8 games during the regular season, you want to act foolish, go for it. But when we get to the postseason, there is no time for that. And that's the thing that I think, for me, over the last couple of ball games, you didn't see that from Green. I mean, he was pretty straight up. He had the one little dust up. I think that was in game 4, maybe? Game 3 or game 4. Other than that, though, I didn't see too much of the nonsense. Golden State, 103-90, your NBA champions. As for the Boston Celtics, maybe the developing story, in addition to Jason Tatum's rise, to me is the play of Jaylen Brown. He scored 34 last night, 5 of 11 from downtown. The Boston Celtics were the best team in the East. I don't know if they're the most talented team in the East, but their mindset defensively is a catalyst. They've got a great coach and I think a young core. I think they're going to be contenders for a while. But Golden State and Steph Curry, his 4th championship. And the thing about this, it's not like there's distinct eras of this run, but the first championship that they had, It was kind of a pleasant surprise to see Curry and Klay Thompson kind of change the game to the point of where, if you almost go back, it would be maybe similar to say you've got one team in the NFL that's figured out the forward pass and everybody else hasn't, and then you get into the season and maybe this team's not as talented as everybody else, but they got the forward pass. And that was kind of the Warriors then. Like, it was a barrage of three-pointers and changing the game and playing with 4 guards on the court. And they won the championship. Then a couple of years later, along comes Kevin Durant. And Durant's incredible versatility, shooting, the pressure release that he became, I think, for Curry and Klay Thompson. I mean, look, they were, I'm not going to call them an unstoppable force, but boy, it felt like it at times with that group. And the thing that I don't love Kevin Durant, but I think more so than we've ever seen from James Harden or some of these other top guys, Russell Westbrook in the NBA, in that scenario, while yes, he still was the MVP of both of those finals for the Warriors, he wasn't so self-centered that he denied his teammates the opportunities to help lead him to not just one, but 2 championships. So you had the Kevin Durant era. Then then you wonder, can they ever get back? Can they scale that mountain again? A couple of years ago, they're the worst team in the NBA. Obviously, Klay Thompson's injured, and they're rebuilding, if you will. And now they are back on top. Four championships in 8 years. I mean, when you start to talk about players in the NBA with the most championship rings, and look, I could make the argument if we want to get into the coaches slash players, Steve Kerr making a little bit of a run here, right, with what he's done. I mean, Kerr's got four as a head coach and five as a player. Kerr got three championships with the Bulls in 96, 97, and 98. Got one in 99 with San Antonio. And then 2003 picked one up. And thinking about that for a minute.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Steve Kerr won four consecutive titles. Something Michael Jordan didn't do. Something Magic Johnson didn't do. Something Kareem didn't do. I mean, there's only a few. Something Tim Duncan didn't do. You know, the only guys that I think have won four or more consecutive in a row, I believe, are Bill Russell, Boston Celtics. Boy, they were incredible. Sam Jones, Tom Henson, Casey Jones, Satch Sanders, John Havlicek, Jim Lutzkoff, Frank Ramsey. I think those are the only players that have ever won. And what do those guys all have in common? They're Boston Celtics. I believe Steve Kerr is the only non-Celtic that has ever won four consecutive NBA titles. I believe that is the case. Now Kerr, all total, with five as a player and four as a coach, has nine in his wheelhouse. Nine championships. But Curry's four, and of course Draymond has four, and Klay Thompson, but Curry's the guy in this era. Like, this era of the game belongs to Steph Curry, in my opinion, just given what he's done to change it. Like, LeBron had his era, and LeBron is still dominant enough to, even at an advanced age in the league, still dominant enough to carry teams to championships. But this most recent era, I would make the argument, dating back to the Warriors taking off in 2015 with their first title, this era is defined by Steph Curry. And it's completely changed the game at the pro level, changed the game at the collegiate level. You see it changing the game at the high school level. Steph Curry did more to take this sport to the perimeter than Michael Jordan did to take this game to the basket. And it's an incredible testament to shooting becoming a weapon, to the three-point shot becoming a – and it's crazy to me because I see these guys coming down the break, and I'm from the era of a two-on-one break, take the layup. Now it's two-on-one break, shoot the trifecta, you betcha. But Curry, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, and Klay Thompson, all with four titles – with the Golden State Warriors, they, all of them, move ahead of guys like Larry Bird, James Worthy, right? I mean, legitimate Hall of Fame stars in the NBA. Guys with four titles include Clemson's own Horace Grant. He got three with the Lakers, one with the Bulls, Shaquille O'Neal. Three with the Lakers, one with the Heat. Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker got four with the Spurs. LeBron's got four, two with the Heat. One with Cleveland, one with Los Angeles. And so they are now in an elite category. And if they get another one, you're moving on up into the Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan range. Rarified air in the sport. But they have been so fun to watch. So fun to watch. By the way, modern era guys, who leads the way? Anyone know? I'll give you a second. Think, Tom. This guy has championships with three different teams. Bob Horry. Big Shot Bob Robert Horry. Won back-to-back titles with Houston in 94 and 95. Won three with the Lakers, 2000, 01, and 02. And then two with the Spurs, 05 and 07. Big Shot Bob Robert Horry. Seven titles. I mean, he's the only player on the list at the top that didn't play in the 50s. Pretty much, 50s and 60s. Looking down, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got six. One with Milwaukee and five with the Lakers. Jordan has six, and Pippen has six, along with Bob Cousy, who had six with the Celtics. So four titles so far for Golden State. Are there more to come, potentially? The game, in a lot of respects, and the way it's played, still very much favors these guys. Jordan Poole's development is essential because I think it's going to allow Steph Curry time on the bench, an opportunity to keep the old legs fresh as he continues to age up. I mean, he's going to be 35 next March, and he kind of reminds you because of, you know, because Steph Curry moves so well without the basketball. And you ever met one of these guys, and maybe this is you, right? You're like this elite level runner, just always runs, just loves running, constantly in shape. Steph Curry's kind of got that feel. You know, he's kind of got that feel. 13 years in the NBA, but yet his legs still seem to be good to go. Moves without the basketball. Defensively, even last night, defensively, he was great. And good for him to finally land the finals MVP, because Iguodala got it in the first one. Then you had Durant get two. NBA Finals MVP last night, Steph Curry. He is the two-time NBA Most Valuable Player, and he is the only player to ever be unanimously named as such. An eight-time NBA All-Star. And probably the guy that, if you look back at his recruiting, if you're a Tiger fan, we can talk Zion missing out, Ja missing out. Dude, Steph Curry was in your backyard, and he went to Davidson. And look, no offense to Davidson, but nobody thought Steph Curry would be this. And it's wild because you almost wonder, had he gone somewhere else, right? Like his brother went to Duke. If Steph Curry had gone to Duke, legit question, is he who he is today? And you might say, what do you mean, Swanee? That is a stupid question. It's actually not. It's a great question. Because if you're at Duke, the competition to get on the court is much greater. And if Curry doesn't get on the court a lot in college, does he develop into the shooter that he is today? Or is he just a guy that comes off the bench occasionally and does a pretty decent job? But at Davidson, he had to be the guy. And he was allowed the freedom to shoot the ball. to kind of be the player that he's become. But if he had to go to Duke and be in a different capacity, be limited maybe to playing time or even by Coach K's philosophies or whatever, would he still have developed into this? You might could make the argument that playing at a smaller school like Davidson weaponized Steph Curry and turned him into the long-range bomber. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line, be a part of the show anytime. As history was made last night, four-time champions. Now with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson a part of that show out in the Golden State. 803-450-0086. Wait a quick break. Stay with us for more Clemson Sports Talk. Rocking and rolling along on a Friday afternoon. Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swan with you. Again, the Warriors are the NBA champions. We're going to have some retrospective stuff here from earlier in the week. We talked with Tony Horn. We'll hear some of that on the program. We may even hear a little bit more from the press conference yesterday when Clemson announced Eric Backich as the new baseball coach. But first, without further ado, we sat down with current Clemson commit Marcus Dixon the other day. Again, this interview in full available over on ClemsonSportsTalk.com right now for our premium subscribers. Just $1 for your first 3 months. After that, $63.17. But here's some of our conversation with Marcus Dixon about his commitment to Clemson. And again, another exciting day for the Clemson Tigers. Marcus Dixon, 3-star, 4-star commit, depending on where you look. Tight end prospect, 6'4", 230 pounds out of Archbishop Wood High School there in Warminster, Pennsylvania. Marcus, congratulations on your commitment to Clemson.
Thank you. Appreciate it a lot.
You know, this process is a taxing one on kids. How would you say you handled it?
I pretty much, text every school that, you know, winds up offering me with, you know, how's the education, how do the coaches, you know, treat.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Recruits, players, people involved. And, you know, whether or not the program's right for me on and off the field. So.
Offers from programs all across the country, including Oklahoma and Oregon, Texas A&M. I mean, what is it for you about Tigertown that really stood out by comparison maybe to some of those other top flight programs?
I think Coach Sweeney just did an amazing job. We spoke on the phone beforehand, before I even got down there. He said I was going to be moving, and you know, there's not, you know, campus. You know, I think that just speaks a lot. I was totally amazed with, you know, how everyone treats it like a family environment. You know, and it's just a wonderful place down there. And Coach Sweeney is doing a fabulous job.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed about you, Marcus, is just your build, right? Like, you're put together like a guy that's going to ultimately fill out and become a heck of a tight end for Clemson. I mean, route running ability, things of that nature, pass blocking. I mean, that's another thing coaches talk about. How would you kind of rate your strengths and maybe weaknesses at this point heading into your final season of high school football?
I think my route running and, you know, just – me being able to, you know, be a deep threat or just a threat to, you know, the secondary is a really strong in my capabilities. And I think something, you know, I could really improve on, you know, even arriving at Clemson, you know, just more on the blocking scheme and, you know, becoming a whole entire tight end instead of just a receiving tight end.
Now, one of the other things, too, obviously, with Clemson, there's been some changing on the offensive side of the ball with Tony Elliott leaving from being the offensive coordinator and the tight ends coach to go take the opportunity at Virginia as their head coach. Getting to know Kyle Richardson, who's led your recruiting, I mean, what has that been like for you? And was there, I'm assuming there was a transition at some point along the way from Coach Elliott to Coach Richardson. I mean, how was that, and how has it been getting to know Coach Richardson?
I think Coach Richardson did an amazing job, and still to this day does an amazing job with, you know, just wanting to get everyone involved, my family, coaches, great guy. And, you know, he from day one, you know, he always told me that, you know, he knew of my special abilities and he would love that down in Death Valley. So I think Coach Richardson, and he also did a great job with, you know, just talking about life outside of football. And I think that's important. So,
you know, the other thing, too, I think for people, Marcus, is the fact that you're a kid from Pennsylvania, and, you know, the reach into Pennsylvania, Brandon Streeter many years ago, the offensive coordinator now, he's a Pennsylvania guy. When I was in school at Clemson, as a matter of fact, Brandon was the quarterback. But, you know, to make that leap now from Pennsylvania to South Carolina is not nearly as significant as it once was because Clemson's got a national footprint. I mean, how much of their success in 2018 and 2016, winning a couple of national titles, also factored into your decision today?
I think that's another reason why I, you know, pretty much chose that as my future. I think that just speaks for itself. The championships and, you know, just the way Clemson developed players means a lot and really impact my recruitment a lot. And it stood out. You know, it was just amazing seeing that.
So there you have it. Just a portion of our interview that we did with Marcus Dixon about his commitment to Clemson. Again, full audio over on our website. I think we went about 10 minutes or so with Marcus, maybe a little more, maybe 11. Anyway, I don't remember the exact, quite frankly, I don't remember the exact number, but that's a part of it right there for you. And again, lots of other great interviews up right now with current Clemson commits and continuing to dig on the recruiting side of things for your Clemson Tigers as the hot streak continues. And speaking of recruiting, over the next couple of days, there will be several other prospects that will be committing. Zachariah Owens is scheduled to commit on July the 4th. Peter Woods is scheduled to commit on July 28th. Stephalyn Green is scheduled to commit on June 24th, and I believe D. Creighton is scheduled to commit tomorrow. I think D. Creighton's committing on Saturday, if my memory serves me correctly. So let me just double check to see real quick. Yep, tomorrow, 2 o'clock, D. Creighton will be making his commitment known, the four-star linebacker. We'll see how it goes. He has a top five, which includes Auburn, Clemson, Missouri, I believe, UCF, and Penn State. I think those are his top schools, yeah. All right, so we will see if we can't get our hands on an interview with D. Creighton as well for our premium subscribers over on ClemsonSportsTalk.com. 803-450-0086. It was a big day yesterday in Tigertown, and obviously with the College World Series looming, I do want to jump back into some of our thoughts on Eric Backich being named Clemson's new head coach. Plus, next week, we will have an exclusive interview with Graham Neff and hopefully Coach Backich right here on the show that shakes the Southland. The show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, on a Friday afternoon. Yesterday was a big day in Clemson as the Tigers named Eric Backich as the 28th head coach in program history. Just the fourth head coach since 1958. That's 56 years. Man, what a, you know, what a historic program, yet it lacks a national championship. They've been close, and Backich was a part of that team back in 2002 that had a heck of a run out to the College World Series. Here is his opening statement. If you missed it yesterday, do want to run it for you here. And just so impressive hearing from him. The thing about it is, I don't think Monty Lee was wrong for the job, and I think eventually Monty Lee probably gets Clemson to Omaha, but I don't deny much like I would say this about the Clemson basketball program, a new head coach gives a little shot in the arm, a little extra life and energy into your program, and I know the changeover is always tough, but we'll see from that standpoint what ends up happening for Clemson. But Bakich's opening statement was so good. Here's what he had to say about the program and being hired and his connection to Tigertown.
Man, it's great to be back. I can't believe it's been 20 years since I've gotten to say go Tigers. But thank you, Graham, his wife Kristen, for this opportunity to lead and serve Clemson baseball. Thank you to President Jim Clements, the Board of Trustees, Kyle Young, Kevin White, for your support in this process. To the University of Michigan Athletic Department, all of our players, past and present, their families, seven decades of alumni that joined our team in Omaha, all the fans, I have the deepest appreciation and gratitude for what we were able to accomplish over the last 10 years. So thank you for an incredible ride. To the coaching mentors that have helped mold and shape the person and the coach that I am today, Coach Keith LeClaire, who I played for at East Carolina, he's the why and the inspiration to start coaching, and a promise that I made to continue his legacy. I don't remember the X's and the O's or the mechanics, but I remember that the confidence and the belief that he instilled. He made his players think they were 10 feet tall and bulletproof. He made his teams think that they could accomplish anything. So Coach Leggett, who's here today, instilled the importance of good fundamentals, instilled foundational life skills like discipline, toughness, competing, having relentless positive energy, and doing it all with a care level that is absolutely unmatched. So thank you for giving me a shot. To Coach Tim Corbin, you know, the value of recruiting excellence, to shifting the target onto developing the total person, the teammate, as well as the future husband and father, that coaching and teaching is a lifestyle, not a job. Very appreciative of the 7 years I had with him at Vanderbilt. My family, my parents, who allowed their son to chase a kid's dream and pursue his passion. Jiffy's parents for, well, really allowing me to marry their only daughter. But the unwavering support the last 17 years.
Coach Bakich also discussed the opportunity that he had 20 years ago at Clemson to work with Jack Leggett, Tim Corbin, and Kevin O'Sullivan.
I've always put Clemson up on a pedestal, not only because it's a great academic school and because I got my coaching start here, but I'll be forever grateful to be in the right place at the right time. And I know how lucky I was to join a staff with three coaching legends, with Coach Leggett, Coach Corbin, Coach O'Sullivan. I told Coach Corbin when I first got to Clemson 20 years ago that I was going to work the same hours as him. And little did I know at the time what I had just signed myself up for. I was a 24-year-old volunteer assistant coach who got paid in Gatorade bars and T-shirts. Had a $200 a month apartment that had no cable TV, no AC, but every single night I couldn't wait to set the alarm clock and get back into the office. I loved it. I still love it the same 20 years later. There's nothing better than helping individual players and a team unlock their potential and achieving more than they thought was possible. 20 years ago, that historic 2002 team was 54-17, was ranked number one in the nation for most of the year, finished in the top four in the World Series. We had star players like Khalil Green, Jeff Baker, Michael Johnson. We had great team chemistry. We had a ton of confidence.
Jack Leggett obviously going to somehow be involved in the program to help out, whether that's to raise money or whatever. I don't know what the significance of Jack Leggett will be, but it sure does feel like this is a little bit of a it is certainly a tie back to Jack Leggett, but an open embrace of Jack Leggett saying, hey, come on back to the program. And I don't think that Monty Lee was anti Jack Leggett by any means, but I do think that there was probably a little animosity from Jack Leggett towards Monty Lee, simply because he's the guy that replaced you. I mean, that's a tough thing, but we saw Jack Leggett at Doug Kingsmore Stadium, and we saw him taking in ball games, but still, it is a weird place to be, unless you retire, and even then, it can kind of be a strange circumstance. But I will tell you, next week, we will be talking with Graham Neff here on the program. We hope next week will give us the opportunity to get up with Coach Bakich, and we'll also try to make an effort next week to talk with Jack Leggett about the situation at Clemson. And hearing Bakich talk, you know, anytime you hear that name Khalil Green and you think about Khalil's story and just sort of how, you know, he's vanished off of the face of the earth, really, is one of the weirdest kind of storylines ever. Just, you know, I think some people might call him a bit of a recluse. Is that the right word? I don't know. I'll tell you what I'll do. I haven't thought about Khalil in a while, but I'll see if I can find some information or figure out where he is. I don't even know where he's living right now. 803-450-0086. Text line, phone line, and be a part of the program anytime. We will hit a quick break and come back with more Clemson sports talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400 The Midlands and heard around the world on the iHeart Radio app. It is the show that shakes the Southland. We are on Twitter at Clemson Sports. Join the nearly 25,000 other people who follow the show. Share our work. Again, our website, put the .com on it. Doggone it, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. So I was doing some digging during the break about Khalil Green. And back in, I guess it was 2009, he cut himself, essentially, in mental anguish and it revealed to be a social anxiety disorder due to his slow start when he was playing for the Cardinals. Later on in his career with the Angels, similar episodes popped up with the social anxiety disorder. He didn't report to training camp, and on February 25th, 2010, the Rangers voided his contract. I'm not sure exactly where Khalil Green is. I did see another story I'll get to you in just a second. I didn't get a chance to read it during the break. Only had a few minutes. But I did see this interesting thing. Khalil Green was raised in the, I'm probably going to say this wrong, Baha'i faith, which is a relatively new religion. Teaching that the essential worth of all religions and the unity of all people. I've never heard of this. Three principles are central to the teaching: unity of God, unity of religion, and the unity of humanity. And maybe I'm just saying it wrong, but maybe if somebody came up to me and said, "Oh yeah, Swan, you've heard of this, blah 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 blah," but it looks like Baha'i, B-A-H-A with a little symbol over it, apostrophe, then an I. So I'm not exactly sure anything about this, but I did see that he was raised in that, you know, that was part of his background from a young adult. Or from, I guess, being a kid. And perusing this other article real quick, it says, if you're wondering where Khalil Green is, this was written 7 years ago. It says, no one really knows. After his last signing with the Rangers in 2010, he disappeared. I prefer to be anonymous, he said in 2007. So it's no surprise to anyone he would just disappear, according to the article. He said, if anyone's to guess, he's most likely with his wife and two children in South Carolina, away from baseball, away from stress, and being his own harshest critic. So I don't know. I mean, that I would say, I'll throw this out there. I think in the history of Clemson sports, that's probably the strangest kind of story that we've ever had to follow. You know, what happened to Khalil Greene? Clemson Tom coming up in hour number two. Also, we heard from several of you yesterday about some of the great plays in sports history that you've been at. We'll talk about some of those coming up in hour number two as well after we wrap things up with Clemson Tom. 803-450-0086. Again, last night in the NBA, Steph Curry, the Golden State Warriors, win it. A fourth NBA title. NBA power rankings revamped came out after the Golden State Warriors won the 2022 championship. Obviously, they are the top team in the league. They have the best odds of winning the NBA title in 2023. Boston, second best odds. The Milwaukee Bucks, the Memphis Grizzlies, with the fourth best odds, along with the Dallas Mavericks. And then you drop down even further. But where are my beloved Los Angeles Lakers in the pecking order of potentially winning a championship? Folks, it's not great. 17th. The Lakers have a new head coach in Darvin Ham. Got to figure out the Russell Westbrook situation. You guys know this story. To put it into perspective how, quote-unquote, bad the Lakers are, LeBron came from Cleveland. Cleveland's the 18th. Again, the Lakers are 17th. And then Davis came from the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are actually ahead of the Lakers. So an aging Los Angeles Laker team in the bottom half of the NBA in terms of potentially winning an NBA title next year. By the way, the Orlando Magic are the bottom team in the NBA, just behind Houston. I won't mention that to Clemson Tom. Well, I might. Clemson Tom is an Orlando Magic fan. I guess the good news for the Orlando Magic faithful is that at least when you get, you know, the first pick in the draft, you tend to get a dynamic playmaker. I mean, that's something, right? A dynamic playmaker every year. They've got Markelle Fultz, Wendell Carter Jr., Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, and maybe one of my favorite players when he gets healthy, Jonathan Isaac, the former Florida State player, 6'8", just a freakishly talented kid. But they are at the bottom of the NBA. So Golden State and Steph Curry, could they do it again? Could they win another title next season? I highly doubt it. I mean, the thing is, Curry's got to stay healthy. Like, maybe more than anybody, they can kind of feel like a team where if one guy goes down, Clay or Steph, they probably fall back significantly. All right, we got to hit a break. Clemson Tom joins us coming up in just a few minutes here. It is the show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for Clemson Sports Talk with Lawton Swan.
Ready, set,
just call me Swanee.
Tiger style. Tiger style.
is our number two. That's Drive Time right here on the show. This shakes the Southland Clemson Sports Talk. Lawton Swan with you, and again, looking forward to catching up with Clemson Tom here on the program today as we set you off towards the weekend. And for all you dads out there, happy Father's Day, as that's looming on Sunday. And hope you get a chance to put your feet up and relax a little bit. I will say this, even though it is Father's Day weekend, I'm going to do the yard. That's my getaway, right? Like, that's a chance. I do more brainstorming and thought processing and coming up with some of my best ideas have probably been created in the yard, doing yard work. It's a place I think a lot, so to speak. All right, Clemson Tom joins us here on a Friday. CT, welcome in, man. How are you?
It's Friday. It's glorious. I got a good weekend of golf tournaments tomorrow, and the family has planned a good little Father's Day Sunday, so I'm excited.
Well, good for you, man. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
And you as well.
Not only that, but you got a birthday coming up.
Yes, I do. So does your son, who shares the same birthday with me, which is awesome.
Yeah, you and Mace are birthday bros, so that's kind of cool.
I know, man. That is fun.
All right, let me ask you, Tom, before we get into the mix about the Clemson baseball situation, maybe some NBA talk with the Warriors winning the title last night. I was watching a video. By the way, follow Tom on Twitter, at Clemson Tom. I was watching a video on your Twitter account, and my man Xander, our favorite golfer, was hitting golf balls. And there's a camera or something in front of him. Help me out with this theory or how this is set up, because I thought this looks absolutely ludicrous.
Well, I think you know that I don't know. There's a fine line between stupid and being brave.
Oh,
and,
God.
I'm standing in front of him as he
Don't
does it
say that to me,
it's
Tom.
It's literally about the angles, and every time I cringe. But you have to understand, I'm standing there knowing that it's going to be whizzing by me about 2 feet to my left. And his golf coach laughs at me. He's like, God, you're an idiot. He calls me T. He's like, T, you're an idiot. I was like, man, I don't care, man, because we do that not only to put it on his Instagram under his reels and things like that, but also we analyze his swing at practice as well. So there'll be, at any given moment, two, maybe three cameras on him, slow motion, regular motion, everything. We break down his swing at practice, and even his coach will take it home. He calls it the lab, and he'll break it down in the lab, and then we readjust at the next practice. So me being me, I'm like, shoot, I'm going to stand in front of him because, hey, if this is what's going to make him better, I'll take a golf ball to the dome if I have to. I have yet to been hit. Hopefully it doesn't happen. Yesterday was I was a little nervous yesterday because he picked up a lot more swing speed, and he's gotten a lot stronger. And, yesterday was a rough one. I don't know if I'm going to be doing it too much longer, man.
Okay, so this has gotten a lot worse than I expected. I was thinking this was going to be Swanee. It's just a tripod. Why not a tripod there, Evel Knievel?
I don't have one because I don't have one. If I had one, I'd probably use it. But
I'm going to start a GoFundMe page for you. I mean, it's either that or you're going to have to go get your teeth.
I do turn my head. So if it hits me again, it's like to the head, nothing in the mouth. Safety first over here, pal.
Safety first. Clemson Tom joins us here on a Friday afternoon. Tom, on the heels of Clemson announcing Eric Backich as their new head coach. He spent 10 years at Michigan. 2019, they were runners-up at the College World Series. He was an assistant coach, a volunteer assistant in 2002 at Clemson. And the key thing here, that staff that he was a part of, it was Jack Leggett, it was Kevin O'Sullivan, the coach at Florida now, and Tim Corbin, the coach at Vanderbilt, both of which, those two have national titles. So the pedigree certainly seems to be there. He's 44, a young guy. Your thoughts on the hiring of Coach Eric Backich yesterday?
I was intrigued because he left something so good at Michigan to come to Clemson, which is technically, you can say, rebuilding in a sense. It was like, oh my, you were just in the national championship. Now you're coming over here. So he must know something. He must see something. I'm sure the dollars were helpful as well, because Michigan didn't even match them from what I was told. Or if they did, it was just like, maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit. Obviously, that was behind closed doors. But clearly, Michigan didn't offer him what we were offering him. So I don't think he came just for the money. I think he sees something in the program. I think he sees something in the school, the area, the facilities. Not saying Michigan doesn't have good facilities, because at the end of the day, they're Michigan. You know, they're blue blood when it comes to football. So they can get pretty much any kind of facilities they want. But I'm interested to see what he does. Clearly, he comes from a great pedigree. Clearly, he can get it done. So at this point, let's just see. You know, hopefully we're in Omaha, man. It's on our hats every year. So, yeah, you know, let's get after it, man. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I'll say this too. Like, the other part of being the head coach at Michigan, which has to be tough, Tom, is the fact that I think they play the first month of their schedule basically on the road or in Florida. And mm-hmm. a lot of those teams, Boston College and others, have to do that. That, I mean, that's got to be a little bit frustrating for a coach, maybe a lot frustrating, to kind of start your year every year in that way.
It would be kind of difficult. I remember freshman year, we always did away meets. And you're basically going all over the Midwest indoors. And it was tough because we couldn't do anything outside at ours at the time. So it was not – I mean, I enjoyed the traveling. But even at the sense, it gets tiring after a while. You're like, where are we going this weekend? Oh, okay, we're going down to Texas. Oh, okay, we're going to Missouri. And we have to sit on a bus for 8, 9, 10 hours. You know, it wasn't exactly the best. But I enjoyed it because you got to see, you know, different facilities. As a coach, it's got to be a little bit harder because you've got all these – you know, guys, you got to worry about the team, the hotels, the this, the that's. So it can definitely be wearing on you already. But shoot, everyone likes staying in a hotel and going to different places. But even thinking about it, like, I've been to Ann Arbor, and clearly I've been to Clemson. I mean, where would you rather live, man? You know, do you want to live outside of Detroit, or do you want to live, you know, 2 hours from Atlanta, an hour and a half from the Greenville? You want to live close to the beach? You know, do you want to live on Kiwi or even Lake Jocassee? I mean, does it get any better than that? I don't think so.
You know, you make a great point, and this is something that I've always said about recruiting, especially the modern era of recruiting. Like, if I'm a recruit, and obviously you take your visits maybe during the summer, but if you go on a visit during the season to Michigan, yeah. And it's a snowy, just awful week, and the weather. Like, I can't imagine that there are a lot of players from the South that go up there and go, oh, this is the life for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's cold. It's a different type of cold. Like, you can't bring a coat there. You have to buy your coat from there because it's a different type of cold. It goes to your bones. It's not fun. It's ugly. It's miserable. You can't do anything outside. There's sleet. There's this. There's that. And plus, we all know Detroit's a lovely town. Who doesn't want to go hang out in Detroit? Clearly, Clemson is the better lifestyle change that you want to have, leaving Ann Arbor to go to Clemson.
Clemson Tom's on Twitter, at Clemson Tom. He joins us every Friday afternoon. So, Tom, last night, the NBA, the Golden State Warriors, 4-2. They defeat the Boston Celtics, the fourth title for Steph Curry. I'm going to ask you a wild kind of question here. Who had a larger influence on changing the game? Steph Curry, LeBron James, or Michael Jordan?
Ooh. I think that's tough because each had their own hand in something. LeBron is just bigger than everybody. I don't really think he changed the game at all. I just think he was just a phenom that came in. Jordan changed the game to where it became more commercialized. I mean, look at the shoe deals. Look at the dunk contest after he did it. Look what he did just with McDonald's. I mean, everything he touched turned to gold. I mean, even right now, you and I are both in our 40s, and we remember when the Jordan shoe was like the end-all, be-all to coolness.
And you know what? I think it still is the end-all, be-all to coolness for a lot of people.
Exactly what I'm saying, but exactly. But even now, like, I have apps on my phone that saying, hey, these new Jordans just dropped. So I'm like, shoot, I got to get those. Like, I got three pairs of Jordans, that, you know, I wear when, you know, we go out somewhere nice and everyone's like, yo, I like your chains. I'm like, thanks, man. You know, I love them too. Like, I never had to get to have these growing up. And now it's like a, I guess you can call it a fashion thing in a sense. Yeah, it's kind of what it is. And even I got a Jordan putter cover for Xander that some company came out and takes little toddler Jordan ones or Jordan whatever. I think it's almost any shoe. They make it into a putter cover. So he changed it as far as making it cool, making it commercialized, fashionable, just that whole glitz and glamour. LeBron, I don't know how he really changed it. I don't know. As far as the game, you just had to figure out how to stop someone that was as quick as Jordan and as big as, you know, Barkley. He changed it more of a scheme-wise, I guess you would say. And then even with Steph, you can't guard this kid. he can hit a three from anywhere. So he's changed it as far as how teams look at it now to where you live and die by the three. I don't know if I've ever seen Curry miss a shot. I'm sure he has, but the kid can put it up from anywhere, and he's quick as a hiccup.
I'm sure he has.
I'm sure he has missed a shot, but, I mean, can you tell me the last time he missed a shot? Because I can't, you know? I don't think clearly I've seen him miss a shot, but I don't remember the shots he missed. I remember the shots that he, like, dribbles, and he's at half court, and he pulls it up like it's a layup, and it's nothing but net. You're like, what
do you
like,
ever
you
wonder?
Do
you ever wonder, though, if Larry Bird or the other great shooters, Reggie Miller, if they had just been willing to shoot that shot, does that make sense? Like, there was a time.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, we know Reggie Miller and Bird could make that shot, but
back then you'd have been called selfish.
It wasn't the game.
Yeah, you'd have been called selfish.
Back then you'd have been like, why are you shooting one from the middle of the 3-point line and the half court line just to do it? It's like showboating. Back then you would have got punched. A fight would have broken out. I mean, that was backyard rules when Bird played. I mean, between him and the Pistons, I mean, there was like a brawl every Tuesday. But I mean, Reggie would have done it against the Knicks just to make Spike Lee mad and John Starks mad. That rivalry, I love that rivalry as a kid, man, because I hated the Pacers because we had to go up against them being Magic fans, and but I loved the Reggie Miller rivalry with the Knicks. It was like him versus the city. You loved it. It was made for TV. And even seeing the 30 for 30s about it, you just loved it. Reggie was such a trash talker, man. Like, he had such a punchable face with those little ears that stuck out like satellite dishes. He had a bald head. He looked like an alien. But he could just ball, man. He could put it up from anywhere. So I hated when the Magic played him, but thankfully the Magic typically beat him. So it wasn't too bad. But, man, the Pacers back then were just so good.
Clemson Tom's on Twitter, at Clemson Tom. Okay, Tom, so the Warriors are the favorites to win the NBA title next season at plus 500. I know you're a guy that dabbles in the what does plus 500 mean for those of us that don't dabble in you know, the financial profitability of sports?
Yeah. So pluses and minuses, everything's based off 100. So if you're plus 500, you have to bet 100 to win 500. So if you placed a $100 bet at plus 500 and it won, you got $500 plus your $100 back.
Okay.
And if it's minus 110, minus 120, you would have to bet $120 to win $100. So it's you got to eat that whole. So it's minus 105, 105 wins you 100. If you bet 100 and it's 105, you win 95 back. So it's almost like even odds. So that's how that plays out. So wait a minute, Golden State's plus 500?
Yeah, that's the best in the league.
Oh, just drop a G on it, man.
I mean, listen, I was going to ask you about the Magic. See, they're the last.
Oh,
they're
God,
plus
the tragic. Yeah,
they're plus 100,000. Why don't I just put a little bit on them and just hope for the best?
You know what? I will take that bet. Go ahead and PayPal me, Venmo me, Zelle, however you want to do it. Yeah, go ahead. I'll take your bet all day. Put a grand on. Absolutely. I'll take it.
They're plus 100,000. So explain what that means to me. Say that again. What, like,
if you bet $100 and they won the NBA, then you would win $100,000. Yeah. That's a heck of a return on your investment, man.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But you hear about these things all the time, like these crazy parlays. And a parlay is basically when you bet multiple games.
Yeah.
And a three-team parlay usually pays out 6-1. And I used to love a parlay back in my day. Like, I used to do them in basketball.
And so you have to get all three games right.
Yeah, but I used to do like 20, 30 game parlays. Like, I used to do like crazy parlays, but put like $5 on it to where it was just, it kept it fun. But if I lost $5, I was like, I lost $5. And then it was like 5 to win like 200. And the best I ever got, I lost it. I'll never forget it. I won every single game because I did it on the money line. And USC lost to Oregon in some random game on a Saturday in the regular season. And I lost that game.
Oof.
Memory serves me right. I think it was like $5 and went like 300, something like that.
Follow him on Twitter at Clemson Tom. All right, Tom, final couple of things here. Recruiting for Clemson over the past week and some change, 2 weeks, has just been absolutely on fire. Is it fair to say that the, quote, demise of Clemson football was greatly exaggerated?
Yeah, of course. Like, we have technically one bad year, and people are like, you're done. I'm like, really, we're done? Because our quarterback didn't have that great of a year because he was injured pretty much the whole year, or half of our team was injured. Like, now we're done out of just basically 1 year? That's ludicrous. It's just dumb. It's ignorant. It's water cooler talk. Any sports talk radio that says that we are done because of that is only using it to kick up the dust to get callers to call in to have something to talk about. No one that's intellectual about any kind of sports or even just college football in general would say one bad year doesn't do it for you. I mean, it's not like we're stuck with injuries and stuck with, you know, guys as freshmen forever. I mean, clearly they're going to get better. Clearly the recruiting is not going to fall off. I mean, one bad year and now no one wants to come to Clemson. Now Dabo's no longer our coach. And then it's talking points. It has no substance. It's something Skip Bayless would say just to have something to yell at on the TV to where you call, you know, Skip an idiot like Skip is. That's all it is. Of course we're going to have good recruits. Of course we're going to have a good season next year. There is a guy saying that we're going to be in the national championship next year. I don't believe him, but it could happen. You know, I got to see some things, you know, play a little differently on the field this upcoming season. But let's say things work in our favor. We could be there. Everyone right now listening can say, yeah, we could be there if things played out the way that they should. And let's say DJ comes back from having a slump year and then just becomes the DJ that we thought we had the entire time. Then that completely changes the game. So, yeah, we could easily be in the national championship. Things have got to change on the field, clearly, but we have the talent to get there. We'll play. I think no one can really disagree that we have the talent to get there. You cannot disagree that.
Tom, buddy, always appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Have a happy Father's Day, my man.
You do the same, brother. Happy Father's Day.
There he is, Clemson Tom. All right, when we come back, portal. You know I'm not a big fan of the transfer portal. Well, the NCAA has recommended some changes. Ho-ho, baby. Let's G to the O. Let's go. I mean, listen, if we could square up this NIL thing, too, during today's program, that'll be great. But the NCAA has recommended some changes to the transfer portal process. We'll talk about that with you here when we get back on the show that shakes the Southland. Keep it locked for more Clemson Sports Talk on Fox Sports Radio 1400. And, of course, you can listen to this show on the iHeartRadio app and catch the podcast editions of the show each and every day. With a quick break, we'll come back, a little portal conversation for you on a Friday afternoon. Clemson Sports Talk on a Friday. So the NCAA Transformation Committee announced yesterday afternoon that they were going to make suggestions to change the transfer portal. And the big key in this proposed change would be that there would be windows of time that players could enter the portal. The NCAA's Transformation Committee on Thursday announced that the recommendation will provide athletes with windows to enter the portal each year, as well as changes to the current infractions process designed to result in faster outcomes. The proposed transfer recommendations are, quote, intended to stabilize the transfer environment, according to the NCAA's news release. And this is also meant to address some of the situations that coaches have had with roster management, which, you know, I think is key when you recognize that there are certain positions on the field that you need to hold a specific amount of players.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Like, you need a certain amount of offensive linemen. And when you're recruiting and trying to, you know, go through the ins and the outs of all of that, and you've got the portal involved, I mean, it can become quite a hassle in a numbers game. And if there is, you know, some limitations, so to speak, on the portal, which has been around since October of 2018, this might slow down some of those changes. This might even give some kids opportunities to take a break, take a deep breath, so to speak, on the decision that they've made. The NCAA's transfer portal, currently the only deadline that players have, they must notify schools that they are entering the portal by May 1st of each academic year. In early May, Todd Berry, the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association, told ESPN that his group would like to see two transfer windows for players to enter their names in the portal. One from the final Sunday in November until the early signing date in mid-December, and the other from April 15th to May 1st. They go on to say that both windows would coincide with contact periods in recruiting, and players wouldn't be required to transfer, only to enter the portal during the designated time periods. According to the NCAA's proposed changes, it would, quote, promote time-efficient outcomes, use a more modernized set of principles and rules, and hold accountable those who are directly involved in the rule-breaking while minimizing the impact on student-athletes who are not involved. Some of the changes to the process would include incentivizing cooperation of all parties, additional investigative tools, and more flexibility within confidentiality rules. The Transformation Committee, by the way, is co-chaired by Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC. The other chair is the Ohio Athletic Director Julie Cromer. The board will review the recommendations at its June 30th meeting. If it supports them, it will send them to the Division I Council for feedback during those meetings that will take place in July. And if all goes well, things can be approved by August. I just know this. Right now with NIL and the transfer portal, I don't think I'd really want to be a head coach. I just feel like we've hit this point where the athletes at these schools have so much power, I think is the word. More power than guys in the NFL have over their coaching staffs and programs. And I don't think that's where we want to have our collegiate or our high school or our prep, you know, Pee Wee League programs. Like, I know there are some of you that are going to say, well, Sweeney and those guys make a lot of money and this, that, and the other. The reality is, if I think of this as a parent, and I have a son that plays sports, I want the coach to always have the most influence and the most power over the decisions of the team, and the outcomes of the program. But we've gotten to the point now where, in my opinion, the situation is set up so that the players can truly have a huge impact on what happens with the team and the direction that the program goes on the recruiting trail, or how quickly the things can fall apart. Because back in the day when you fired a coach, nobody was going to leave. Very few players were going to leave. But this newfangled era allows everybody to leave if they've never transferred before. And I don't think that's in the best interest of the sport of college football. Forget what program you're talking about. It's not in the best interest of the sport, in my opinion, to have that type of loose restrictions or whatever you want. Just the ability. It's not even restrictions, really. It's like an open gate. At least now there might be some reasons to slow some guys down from making the decision, or if they have to wait, like I said, maybe they rethink their decision. And I don't want players to be just silent or not have an opportunity to grow their brand or move if they're not happy. But I do want to avoid chaos. And it feels like the portal and NIL are creating a level of chaos that if you ask a player, do they like it? They'll say yes. But then if you say, do you like it if you are a coach in the future? They would say no. And so I think the goal would be to find something where a player could say, yeah, I like this as a player, and I would like this as a coach. Because if that is the case, then we've got a setup that's probably incredibly beneficial for the fans and the consumers of basketball, football, and baseball at the collegiate level. With a break, and we'll bounce back with more right after this. Stay with us. The show that shakes the Southland, Clemson Sports Talk, Lawton Swan. Let me know what you think about what I had to say earlier yesterday about the transfer portal. I guess I need to preface that. Yesterday, though, we talked about some of the great plays that we'd ever seen in the history of college football. Tiger Chuck hit us up and says, Swanee, now that you asked the question, I'm starting to realize that I've only ever been to Clemson games. He said, I've experienced a few painful Clemson moments in football, but I mostly recall a Clemson basketball moment that just killed me, and that was Wayne Ellington's three-pointer back in 2007. I vaguely remember that three from Ellington, but I believe it was a deep dagger, if I remember correctly. It wasn't like he toed up the line. Davy D checks in and says, Swanee, how about this great play? What about the fake punt and then pass to Christian Wilkins in the Orange Bowl playoff game back in 2015? That comes to us from Davy D 23. Double D, I'll say this, man. That was the hottest New Year's Eve / day or whatever day that was I've ever been at in my life. That ball game, 37-17, the final score, if my memory serves me correctly, was the moment that I think every Clemson fan recognized that that team was legit. That game was the moment where you kind of knew that any fluff about who Clemson was, that was it. I mean, you just beat down in 2015, a program that was seen at the pinnacle of the sport. And that was a moment I think a lot of people, including Orange Clad, became true believers that 2015 team could win a national title. Now, they didn't, but I still contend they were the best team on the field against Alabama in that national championship game. All that being said, that moment was great, and Christian Wilkins nearly scored. But the thing about it that probably made it even more what's the word? More, unexpected, I think is the right word there. More unexpected was the fact that Andy Teasdall had opted for a fake punt in the ACC championship game that Dabo Swinney just chewed him a new one. And then in this game, now it wasn't the next week, right? Because you had the time off from the championship game till the semifinal, the ACC championship game to the semifinal in Miami. But it was the next game. And you could not believe that Clemson would run a fake punt. Here's that play call as it took place.
Teasdall comes out to punt. Sterling Shepard back at the 10-yard line.
And they act like they did this already.
Fake it, and they are going to fake it, and the throw is complete. I thought he was going to kick it, but he got it to Christian Wilkins. 41 yards on fourth down.
Unbelievable. Dabo Swinney trusting his punter. They liked what they saw, and he lets him make the throw in the ACC championship game. He got all over his punter for making a decision on his own. They slipped the man out of the backfield. He was unaccounted for, and the punter makes a huge play on the fake punt.
Not a bad catch and run by Wilkins, the big fella, either. Turns into a fullback right there, and he almost took it down the sideline.
And that was the thing about it. Like, Wilkins almost kept that in bounds. At 300-plus pounds, he is... Hold me close, you tiny dancer. I mean, he is tiptoeing through the tulips, down the sidelines. Nearly stays in bounds. The roll of the dice. Clemson was down, by the way, 7-3 in that moment. What a huge momentum swing, and Clemson will go on to dominate that game. And don't forget, Clemson had several players who were out because they were suspended. Shaq Lawson was injured in the ball game. And it's not like that was a 100% Clemson team either, and they just 100% throttled Oklahoma. That was one of the most satisfying games I probably ever attended up until that point, because that was, like I said, you tell me if I'm wrong on social media, at Clemson Sports, tell me if I'm wrong via text 803-450-0086. To me, that game was the coming out party that Clemson was legit. Forget everything else that happened in the other 13 games in that season. That 14th game, that win against Oklahoma, was Clemson coming out and saying, we're here. And I think what's amazing is that it didn't just end even after getting beat in that national championship game out in Arizona. And Dabo Swinney said it after the game. And then the next thing you know, the following year, Clemson wins that national championship on the final play. And then to get back and do it again 2 years later and cement yourself in the era of the college football playoff. It is like, you can not think Clemson's going to get to the playoffs this year, and that's fine. You could say, I think they're going to have another down year. That's fine. You do you, whatever you want to do. But the reality is that in this era, that trophy means a lot. And I've compared it in the past to the Super Bowl era. Nobody talks about the world championships that the Chicago Bears have. Nobody. They talk about the 85 Super Bowl. And so old championships, even BCS titles, are going by the wayside. You either have the Golden Scepter or you don't. And Clemson has two of them. And there are only, what, seven in existence right now. So you push that. You champion that. And Clemson does. All right, we'll hit a break. We'll put a bow on the week and the show when we get back. Stay with us.
What have you done for me lately? It's a fair question. Just don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't forget history. Lucky for us at Clemson, the answer to the questions, what have you done for me lately, and what have you done always, are the same. We win.
Final segment on a Friday afternoon. Hope you're well. Thank you for being a part of the program. Again, the Warriors are your 2022 NBA champions. College World Series action underway all weekend. So we'll have significant updates on that front on Monday. And don't forget, it is also Father's Day this weekend. So I hope you have a great day. Weekend as well. Again, Clemson earlier this week, full audio right now on our website, naming Eric Bakich as their new head coach. Next week, we expect to sit down with Graham Neff. We hope to connect with Coach Bakich and Coach Leggett, who Bakich was on his staff back in 2000. The funny thing about Coach Bakich to me, I keep looking at him and thinking, you know what? I honestly think that I must have hung out with this guy at some point in 2002. Like, you ever have that face you look at and go, man, I know this guy. And I don't know him from Michigan. Trust me. One of the few states I've never been to. There's a bucket list. You know, we talk about the sports bucket list. I wouldn't mind seeing all 50 states. Quite frankly, I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure how many I've been to. But I wouldn't mind seeing all 50. And you know what? I will even count if you had a layover. If you had a layover in a state. What states have I not been to? This is important. I need to know this so I can get the plan together. I have never been to Alaska. I've never been to Oregon or Washington. I've never been to Idaho or Montana. I've never been to North Dakota. That's what, five right now? I've never been to Michigan. I don't think I've ever been to Indiana or Ohio. That's what, eight? I've never been to Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire. That's what, 9, 10, 11. I've never been to Massachusetts. That's 12. Connecticut, 13. I've never been to Delaware, 14. And I don't think I've been to West Virginia and Pennsylvania. So, 16 states, I think, I've never been to. Everywhere else I've been. Basically, just the top part of the United States and Canada. Everywhere else I think I've been. I mean, there's not much in Wyoming, but I've been. 16. I'll tell you what, I'll challenge you over the weekend. Text me. Do some homework, pull out a map. How many states in the United States of America have you not been to? I've been to, what, 34. And I've been to Puerto Rico. So if Puerto Rico, hey, if you ever get a chance to join, I've been to 35. But at this point, 34 states. And like I said, not a lot in Ames, Iowa. Now, Mount Rushmore is pretty cool in South Dakota if you've never done that. That is a pretty incredible creation. Pretty incredible creation. Text line, phone line, be a part of the program anytime, any place, anywhere. Our website, wide open for you. ClemsonSportsTalk.com. Go check it out. And we absolutely look forward to bringing you more and more coverage. Got an interview lined up with Jeremiah Cobb, one of Clemson's targets at running back. Interview coming up with D. Creighton. Hopefully going to hook up with Ian Reed and Jamal Jarrett over the next couple of weeks. And we've still been working on Jamal Anderson, one of Clemson's recent commits, a linebacker, freakishly gifted. If you know the name from the Dirty Bird era in Atlanta, that's right, that's his dad, the running back Jamal Anderson. Hoping to get that article up. And again, we would love to have you join us. How much does it cost? $1 for 3 months of coverage. $1. After that, it is $63.17 for a year of coverage. And you heard that right, Gamecock Nation.
So you could continue to peek over the fence at the best radio show in the nation.
The late, great Cleveland man. I absolutely love that audio, and I am so thankful that I saved it that day. Nonetheless, thank you as well, though, for being a part of this program. We hope you'll come over and support us. Post in our forums. Post in our forums. We would love to have you guys over there on our website posting. That would be amazing. We got to get out of here. Thank you to Clemson Tom. Great to hear from Eric Backich again on the program today, and I hope you enjoyed that interview that we ran with Marcus Dixon in hour one. We will talk to you on Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And, of course, until then, as always, y'all take care now. And go Tigers!
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.